Excited to have Professor Dilip Menon back here to speak about India. He's the Mellon Chair of Indian Studies and the Director of the Center for Indian Studies in Africa at Wits University. In fact, Professor Anton Hobb, his colleague. Good morning, Prof. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Rafiqa. I'm feeling very cool this morning, to be precise.
Oh, fabulous. You're going to be freezing soon. We're sending this stuff up north.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Well, you're so welcome. We like to be generous. Stay warm. Prof, let's kick off with catching up where we are since the last time we spoke about the India-China border dispute.
Yes. The Chinese troops have begun withdrawal from Galwan Valley, and there have been talks between our national security advisor and the Chinese foreign minister. India had retaliated in a symbolic fashion by banning 59 apps, including TikTok, which has actually caused great heartbreak in India. But now the army has been told that they should be getting off Facebook, they should be getting off Instagram, and 89 apps have been banned. There's a 3-kilometer buffer zone that's been created now, and both countries are moving back to the actual line of control. But what is interesting is the realignment that is happening in world politics and how it's feeding into American-Chinese rivalry, because Trump has come out strongly criticizing Chinese aggression, as he called it. The Secretary of State Pompeo has called China a rogue actor, and the U.S. has actually moved 2 aircraft carriers into the South China Sea on Saturday. So there's a new alignment emerging in what is possibly the new Cold War, if you may call it that.
Oh, dear. Okay. As always, we keep a close eye. This is something that I'm a little scared to have this conversation about, the return of Indian migrants from the Gulf, from Gulf countries.
Yes, and actually the instances of COVID-19 having gone up and the scare about COVID-19 more generally, the Gulf countries have been, which as you know, have largely expat populations, have become increasingly worried. And in Kuwait in particular, out of a population of 48 million, Indians constitute 30%. And this is being seen as a demographic imbalance. And the Kuwait expat bill has been cleared. The idea is that over a period of time, the percentage of Indians will drop to 15% of the population. So it's cutting it in half, which means that 800,000 Indians may have to return. And this is crucial because if you think about a state like Kerala, which has been doing extremely well during COVID-19, it's entirely, almost entirely based on remittances coming in from the Gulf. And from Kuwait, we have remittances of the order of US dollars, $4.8 billion. So the consequences of the coming back or the sending back of Indian migrants will be huge in India's demographic as well as political situation.
And just as a racial or, I don't know, a human rights thing, I mean, is this, it doesn't seem right, appropriate to say, oh, too many Indians, you've got to go. You allowed them in the first place.
Right.
Is that appropriate? It feels very Brexit-y.
Yes, it is. But it's also, I suppose, it's a very peculiar situation in the Gulf countries where the fact is that the entire Gulf economy is managed by expatriates, whether they're from Europe, America, or Asia. The entire service economy, the professional classes. So what we have is a very peculiar and particular situation, and particularly when you think about a place like Kuwait, where Indians themselves constitute 30% of the population, it's very different from what we are seeing in places like Europe and South Africa, where you do have an immigrant population, but the percentages are much lower. In the Gulf countries, it's very visible, the presence of an immigrant population. And this is actually causing a lot of heartburn. I agree with your larger point, but all I'm saying is that we have to think with the situation in the Gulf very differently from elsewhere.
I agree with that. I mean, I think maybe the frustrating thing is the days that I used to travel to Oman or the UAE, there was always this boast of, we make it so attractive for you to come here. There's so few of us.
That's right.
And they grew on the basis of not only sort of labor of Pakistani and Indian people who were included there, but also the services that are provided. And then suddenly to turn around and be like, yeah, you got to go, feels a little inappropriate, but it's their country.
Yeah, they'll have to square with it in some sense, because in the end, they have to be pragmatic. There aren't enough local skills.
Yeah.
So let's see how this goes.
Okay. And ever on the forefront of discovery, COVID-19, a vaccine has been approved for trials in India.
Yes, and this has been an important development because, as you know, there are the University of Oxford is leading the race right now, and there are two Chinese firms, Sinovac Biotech and Sinopharm, which are also developing vaccines. The Indian Council for Medical Research has, with the new Covaxin, as it's called, will be tested on 315 people in phase one and 750 people in phase two. So this is happening as we speak. By July 13th, this testing will have been done. The vaccine has passed the animal trials test. The frame for clinical trials is between 6 to 8 months. But the interesting thing here is that the age group being targeted here is 22 to 50 years. So people are asking, so what about those who are most at risk, who are people in the age group from 60 upwards and, well, in the 70s? The vaccine has been made with dead particles of SARS-CoV-2, with disabling them from infecting or replicating. And so by mid-July, we'll have a sense of how these tests are turning out. So hopefully we are getting there, though the number of instances of COVID-19 are actually increasing all over the world. We seem to have deferred the problem with lockdown.
Sure. Interesting stuff. I hear you on the age difference, but it's cool. Who are you rooting for Vids to beat India or for India to beat Vids on the vaccine?
I'm rooting for myself to be alive, actually.
Indeed. Likewise. Let's keep that hope going, Prof. We'll catch up with you soon. Take care and thanks so much for the considered contribution. You too. Professor Dilip Menon, being the Mellon Chair of Indian Studies and the Director of the Center for Indian Studies in Africa at Wits University.